From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our Lord Jesus is ever giving, and does not for a solitary instant withdraw his hand. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. He is a sun ever shining. He is manna always falling round the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from his smitten side. The rain of his grace is always dropping. The river of his bounty is ever flowing, and the wellspring of his love is constantly overflowing. As the king can never die, so his grace can never fail. Daily we pluck his fruit, and daily his branches bend down to our hand with a fresh store of mercy. There are 7 feast days in his weeks, and as many as are the days, so many are the banquets in his years. Who has ever returned from his door unblessed? Who has ever risen from his table unsatisfied? His mercies are new every morning, and fresh every evening. Who can know the number of his benefits, or recount the list of his bounties? Every sand which drops from the glass of time is but the tardy follower of a myriad of mercies. The wings of our hours are covered with the silver of his kindness and with the yellow gold of his affection. The river of time bears from the mountains of eternity the golden sands of his favor. The countless stars are but as the standard bearers of a more innumerable host of blessings. Who can count the dust of the benefits which he bestows on Jacob, or tell the number of the fourth part of his mercies towards Israel? How shall my soul extol him who daily loadeth us with benefits and who crowneth us with loving kindness? Oh, that my praise could be as ceaseless as his bounty! O miserable tongue, how canst thou be silent? Wake up, I pray thee, lest I call thee no more my glory, but by shame. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake right early.
When I look down from lofty mountains.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Thank you.
On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series in the book of Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Basic Christianity. In chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we find the apostle thanking God for certain characteristics of the Colossian believers. He mentions their faith in Christ Jesus, the love which they had to all the saints, and the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. Three particular words stand out in these verses: faith, love, and hope. As we've seen, faith in Christ is the foundational grace of Christianity. Then, love is the relational grace which binds together those who have trusted Christ as Savior. It is an active love, demonstrating our love for Christ by the love we have for His people. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
I've dealt with this a little in the past. We are all unfortunately afflicted in our thinking to some extent. Whether we realize it or not, we're afflicted with the follies and the falseness of the definition of faith that has been popularized by charismaniacs. I think that's a good term for them too. Where faith becomes a sort of, if you make yourself believe it, if you want it badly enough, that's faith. And it's not. There are people telling themselves that they're exercising faith, quite apart from the Bible, quite apart from any conviction of the Spirit in their heart. It is purely and simply their desire. And any time your desire enters into any issue, you've got to be very careful, because it's like putting a particular pair of lenses in front of your eyes. Whatever the lens, it's going to dictate how you're going to see things. Got to be very careful here. Faith is a response, basically, to a divine revelation. Always. It's a response to a divine revelation. And where there's no such revelation, you've got to tread very carefully. Not only is it a response to a divine revelation, but faith is born out of our being in Christ. And faith grows out of our communion with Christ. Paul speaks in chapter 2 and verse 12, if you cross-reference it, to the faith, or of the faith of the operation of God. It's a very difficult little phrase. It may mean faith in His operation, or it may mean faith that is produced by the operation of God. I think that the latter is certainly Paul's meaning in Ephesians 1, which is more or less parallel expression, where he says, I pray that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. How do we believe? We believe according to the working of His mighty power. Faith is produced by the operation of God. In union with Christ, in communion with Christ. That's why it is important for Christians to spend time in the Word and in prayer, getting alone with the Lord. That's why it's important in the everyday life, not just in the crisis, not just when trouble hits you, when some special need comes your way, but in everyday life, to get alone with God, to be soaking in His Word, to be reading in that Word, memorizing in that Word, meditating in that Word, feasting on that Word, filling your mind with that Word, and then lifting up your soul to Him, so that the outgoing of your soul in prayer is the result of the incoming of the Word of God to your heart. Here's why it's important. Because when the crisis hits, you need to be able to respond by faith. But faith is that which grows out of communion. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not just looking back to a moment in your history when you trusted in Christ Jesus. It is that which is dynamically produced out of your ongoing fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder then when I put it like this that so many Christians, professing Christians, because only God knows the reality of professions in the lives that I'm about to describe, but is it any wonder that you have Christians, professing Christians, tottering about, not knowing what they're doing, why they're here, where they're going, what they're about, living in guilt and defeat and misery? Is it any wonder that they're like that when you think they hardly crack open a Bible? Some have professed salvation for 10 or 20 years and have never read the New Testament through, never mind the Bible through. They could quote you great reams of stupid garbage produced by some worldly writer, but they could hardly quote you more than John 3:16. How many Christians, let me put it to you this morning, how many Christians know enough of the Bible? If a man came to them in great need of soul, they knew, they would know enough of the Bible to say, here's where to turn. That's what the book says. And then we wonder what's wrong. Paul rejoiced that these people were people who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with a faith that was marked by soundness of belief, that focused constantly upon Christ, that was professed with steadiness no matter what opposition came along, and that grew out of their union and communion with Christ. He gave thanks for this, and well he may, because this is God's gift. This is the gift of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8. And it's the foundation of all the other graces. Faith then is the foundational grace. He then speaks of love, the love which you have to all the saints. And I call this the relational grace. You see, Paul gave thanks because the Colossians' love for the saints proved the reality of their faith in Christ. Love is the first fruit of saving faith. How do I know that? Because Galatians 5 verse 6 says, faith worketh by love. Anywhere faith is working, you'll find this love. John went so far as to say in 1 John 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now understand this, we're not saved by loving the brethren, we're saved by grace through faith. But if there is a saving faith in Jesus Christ, it is always going to produce a love for the brethren. Because John goes on to say, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That is, he's never passed from death unto life. He's not saved. Now, what's the truth here? It's very simple, but it's very profound. That men who live in a right relationship with God will live in a right relationship with their brethren. That's what he's saying. We have seen, when we looked at the opening two verses of Colossians, that the word saints means that we're dealing with people who are possessed of a real holiness and separated from sin unto God. Now, the world hates and despises people like that. The world mocks people like that. In fact, the world doesn't know how to relate to people like that. You ever talk to an actor I remember talking to Dr. Bob Jones Jr. about this. Those of you who knew Bob Jones Jr. will know he loved to act the bad guys. And he did it very, very successfully. But you asked him, as I talked to him about it, remember we're up in Canada at a protest against the World Council of Churches, of all things, out of which I have one of the few pictures of Bob Jones carrying a placard. And he said, acting the good guy is very, very difficult. If you want to see how difficult, you just think of the number of even professional actors who have ever been acclaimed because of their acting the role of the good guy. There have been a few, but very few. Usually, the good person is the fool or a hypocrite underneath it all. In some other way, despised. That's giving a lot away. That's what the world thinks of goodness. By the way, nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but then, what's new? Nothing at all to do with what I'm talking about. That is one of the undesigned evidences of the inspiration of the gospel narratives. And especially when you come to the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, I say especially because it's especially attacked by the critics. Nowhere in all of literature has anybody ever been able to paint the portrait of a perfect person. I don't care what literature you read. I don't care how brilliant the writer. No literature has ever been able to paint the picture of the perfect person, and any attempt to do so paints a picture of a person who's a cardboard cutout and not real flesh and blood. We come to the Gospels and we meet with absolute perfection in a real person. And the beauty of it is, the writers were not accomplished literary characters. Some of them were shoved off to the side as unlearned men, ignorant men, giving us the perfect character of the Lord Jesus Christ. I better not go on down that line because I would stay on it a long time. What I'm saying to you is that the world hates and despises saints. But if your heart has ever been touched by grace, and here's something to give yourself a real good test by. If your heart has ever been touched by grace, you will love the saints of God. I'm worried about people who can glibly say they're saved, but they're at home with the cursing, swearing, mocking, blaspheming, drinking, drug-taking crowd. They're at home with the world in all its wickedness, but they have no heart except of criticism for the saints of God. I worry about people like that because the mark of a believer, if a heart is touched by grace, he will love the saints, because you see, all believers are saints. And if you're a saint, then those believers, those saints, are your spiritual kith and kin. And it's as unnatural for me to hate the saints of God as it would be to hate my own family or my own flesh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.